Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcast. We're going to do part two of my interview with Tom Emmer. So it's Davis and Emmer here in St. Cloud in Mobile Podcast Command. Again, a quick disclaimer. So my job is to ask questions of a U.S. congressman and get him to respond to those questions. I am not here to argue with Tom Emmer. I do argue with Tom. Tom and I are good friends. We worked together on the radio for years, so we're very comfortable with each other, and I don't have any problem getting at Tom. But this isn't a debate. This is an opportunity to ask Tom questions, get some answers, and get those answers down on the record. And that's what I'm doing here today with Tom Emmer. And I got a whole list. I got 38 questions to get through, Tom. So just hang on. So if you have questions for Tom, I was talking to Abby, Tom's comms officer, and she said that he, by the time you hear these podcasts, will have done at least 20 town halls. So a lot of these congressmen don't do town halls. Tom is doing them and doing a lot of them. So if you have a question of Tom, or if you want to argue with Tom, just go to one of his town halls, and I'm sure that they will hear you out. That's the big thing. So in podcast 874, part two of the talk we're having here in St. Cloud with Tom aboard Mobile Podcast Command. And of course, this podcast is sponsored by Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul for home or business. So winter is coming. I mentioned on the other podcast on the way up here today, beautiful day today, by the way, but there were some pretty amazing snow squalls on the up. So we're getting into, some winter weather. And when it gets cold, that means that your systems are going to be put under stress. If you haven't had them checked, if you haven't had your pipes checked, if you haven't had your heating systems or your water heaters checked, these things can fail at the worst time because they are under major stress when it gets really cold. When they do, think about Ryan Plumbing and Heating, reliable service in St. Paul for four generations in Frogtown. If you're in St. Paul, you can call them at 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. They are metro-wide, so they can go all over the metro, north metro, south, east, and west. West St. Paul, you know, Burnsville, St. Louis Park, Plymouth, Minnetonka. They'd love to go to Minnetonka. Maple Grove, all around the metro here in the Twin Cities, east and west. That is Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. They go back four generations, as I mentioned, in Frogtown. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems. Don't get me started with people that try to do this stuff themselves these days. Remember, Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Ryan Plumbing, online at ryanplumbing.com. First of all, thanks for your donations for Mobile Podcast Command, which gets me up here to St. Cloud and keeps oil in this thing as it kind of seeps oil every now and then. So I appreciate that. Thanks for the likes and especially the shares on Facebook and Twitter and listening to the Bob Davis Podcast at Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, BlogTalkRadio.com, Google Play, Music, what else? Especially Spotify for Android devices. And, iTunes has split like their whole deal. I'll have to explain that at some point, but you can definitely still go to iTunes if you have the app and look for the Bob Davis Podcast, or use the iOS podcast app on your phones, especially the new version is a lot better. So check it out. And thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast. Okay, here we go. All right, where were we? We were talking about issues. So we talked about healthcare. Excuse me. We talked about healthcare.
Yep.
I should say health insurance. Let's talk some local issues real quick, because this is going to be a two-parter, so let's talk about PolyMet. I know, okay, that's a big issue in the state of Minnesota. We've talked about this many times on the radio. I thought it was solved. I didn't realize that this is continuing to be an issue, and of course...
They won't give up.
The Democrats are, we're all for the environment. Is PolyMet environmentally neutral, or is this going to be a huge problem? Or I know the miners are all for it up there. So
there are two separate ones that are going. PolyMet is the one that was recently approved, that they just keep going back to court now, trying to do whatever they can do to frustrate PolyMet. By the way, I was told by a former representative, a Democrat from up north, who told me that the word 4 years ago was then Governor Mark Dayton and his ex-wife, is a big Enviro supporter, that they had an agreement. She said, you can have PolyMet. I get twin metals. Shutting it down. Okay? I don't know if that's true, but that was what a representative...
So you have two companies. PolyMet, twin metals. What are they mining?
Well, they're trying to get the precious metals that so that along the old, essentially the old iron range, which has some of the greatest high quality iron ore that you can find in the world. There is now one of the, if not the greatest precious metals find, one of the greatest finds in the world. It would be in the top three or four, I'm told.
What kind of precious metals?
The things that you have in your phone. Pick up your phone. All okay. that stuff. The we nickel, the cadmium, the all
don't
this stuff.
Don't mess with my phone.
No, it's everything.
I'll take socialism, but just don't mess with my phone.
I got it. But it's all this, you know, it's pretty intense stuff. Anyway, it's about the precious metals. PolyMet's been going on for over a decade, trying to meet every environmental hurdle to show that it is going to do what's necessary to protect the environment. That's why we put all this stuff in place. They've been approved. These guys who, by the way, a lot of these people who are fighting it,
right,
they're the ones who put these things in place.
So it's going forward.
It is going forward, it looks like. Twin Metals is the other one that, again, this is a, from my perspective, it's about making sure that the federal government honors its agreement with the state of Minnesota. And I, if I can be vague without giving dates, when the Superior National Forest was created, so the state of Minnesota allows the federal government to take this land as the Superior National Forest, there were private mineral leases, resource leases that were left in place right. within the Superior National Forest. In the early 70s, Congress created this thing called the Boundary Waters. A lot of people are too young to remember the violent disagreement about that. You had some of the greatest fly-in fishing resorts in the world in what is now
today,
the Boundary,
Boundary Waters.
Right. You know, that fight was had. It's over, long since over. They created a buffer around the Boundary Waters. Nothing can happen inside the Boundary Waters. Nothing can happen inside the buffer, which I think is about 3 miles out away from the border. This Twin Metals property is just outside of the buffer, all right? PolyMet, by the way, if I'm not mistaken, somebody might want to check. I think PolyMet is south of the Laurentian Divide. I think Twin Metals is just about, well, it means all the water flows south.
Okay.
So this idea that you could be mining, it's going to flow north into the the Boundary Waters, I don't think works at all with PolyMet. That is an argument on the site involving Twin Metals.
Because why is this an issue in your district? Isn't this an 8th district issue?
No, this is a Minnesota issue.
So they don't care. There, anybody that's anywhere near northern Minnesota, it's going to come up. Because I know it's come up in any, if you do an internet search on you, it comes up with you. A lot. And it really is an 8th District issue, it sounds like to me.
A lot of it happened with Twin Metals. So when I ran for governor, Bob, when I saw what was happening in northern Minnesota is these Twin Cities liberals want to shut down the forest so only animals are allowed to live up there. Only animals are allowed to, feed off the spoils of the earth. Human beings are apparently supposed to all be forced into Minneapolis or the surrounding suburbs, according to these people. When I saw that and I realized that you got a young child who's going to school in one of these, you know, Virginia or in just name your town,
Eveleth,
Hibbing. They go to school and there's not enough money, so they have to go to an after school place in the winter so there's heat because mom and dad, you know, when they get home, they'll try to stoke up the fire.
This is still going on?
Well, now it's like a rebirth. You know, since this stuff has started moving forward and they're hiring, there are great jobs. I mean, we've got logging that should be happening up there as well to manage.
So you're
the
saying
forest.
The environmental regulations have pretty much shut down
well, they
business
were.
And they've created a hardship for the people. And
they
I know
were.
That the mining people up there are this is between the miners and the hippies and Ely, basically.
Yeah, the crunchy liberals, yeah. That they say it's hurting tourism.
Not to put down the hippies.
Else. I don't have any problem with the hippies. We can both live together, is my point. And when it came to Twin Metals, Rick Nolan, the former representative, he got absolutely screwed by his own people on their way out the door. The Obama administration not only tried to shut this thing down forever, but they tried to take hundreds of thousands of acres out of any potential future exploration or development.
To prevent the thing from happening at all.
Right. And here's the misinformation. These people shoot out this thing about, and now they're trying to do it again. You got Senator Tina Smith who's all over this again. We should have a study. We got to do this study. Bob, what are you going to study? There's no mining proposal yet. It is a red herring. The idea of a study...
Okay, but the PolyMet appears to me to have been approved.
PolyMet's so going to move done. Forward. We're, so talking, we're talking about twin metals. Okay. She's all over this thing again, suggesting that they should have a study, which Sonny Perdue within the Ag, because it's a U.S. Forest Service, he ended that study because there's nothing to study until you have a mining proposal that you can actually look at and say, all right, is this something that's going to cause harm to the environment? Is it going to harm the boundary waters? And most of us, for those listening out there, we're not just worried about the boundary waters. It's about the Superior National Forest. It's about everything. We have the environmental hurdles in place so that people like Twin Metals can go in, do the exploration, say, this is an amazing find, okay? We think we can do this in an environmentally safe manner. Now, make us a proposal. And let's put them through the same rigorous...
That we did with PolyMet.
Yeah. You're not going to let them start up. And these guys, they'll pull out a copper ferrous mining from 20 years ago and say, look, this dam broke and it damaged all this stuff. Okay, that's great. It means nothing to the to what's
okay,
going
so
on.
So you
Twin
support
Metals.
The PolyMet thing. And
PolyMet has...
Any of those, do they contribute
everything.
To your campaigns?
No, not yet that I know of. I hope they do.
I think they probably will now.
I hope so.
Okay, so then
Bob, you know that that's one of the greatest things about
this.
I
mean, this. Those are the kinds of questions that come up.
Yeah, but so. I don't do it because somebody's going to contribute to my campaign. I do it because it's the right thing to do. And the economic development, if we ever achieve even 3/4 of what we could with that precious metals mining in northern Minnesota, it could drive this state's economy better than iron ore ever did at its peak. And I will add, those private mineral leases in the Superior National Forest are incredibly important to our public school system in this state. They collect a 7-figure number every year off of these leases. And people don't recognize
that. What's your take
that.
On the people that you talk to in the 6th District? Are they for it or against it? I mean, obviously you're talking to Republicans. So.
It's tough for me. I don't have people who object. And I've had donors stop giving to me because they object, by the way. And I tell them, everybody should have the right to explore. We're not approving a mine at the Twin Metals.
Well, that's not
site.
Your job anyway. You're not going to approve it. It's going to be the state or it's going to be the federal
The courts,
EPA
everything flag. Else. They're going to have to
all
go
right,
through the whole thing.
We're done with that.
Yes.
Let's talk about another issue, which is really, I think, really
don't
important.
Don't think we kicked that one enough.
Is this whole immigration question. You have a lot of Somalis in St. Cloud. It's a huge issue in this state. You have people following you around with you know, derogatory pictures of you and
really
standing out in front of schools in Elk River screaming and yelling about Tom Emmer.
Yeah, I think there were like two people.
I know that you, at one point, you had reached out to Keith Ellison when he was serving and you guys did some sort of outreach. This is a huge problem up here and we're in St. Cloud today.
So how are you teeing up this question?
I'm teeing the question up as how do you negotiate this issue? Because there are, when I go talk to people, this is the first thing they bring up is Tom Emmer sold us out on these.
Yeah, but that's a complete lie.
On this, and he sold us out on the daycare issue.
That's really? Talk about conflating two issues.
Well, that's a state issue, right? That's, and there's already absolutely. Been a state, there's already been an investigation on that. So anyway.
Yeah, there's been an investigation and I wasn't anywhere near it. That's, so
no,
for
it,
somebody
it wasn't
to say.
You, but that's what they're saying. And then it's this whole thing about what are we going to do about these Somalis?
First
we need to send them home.
First off, you've got about 40 people that refuse to recognize refugee.
These are Trump supporters, by the way.
I'm going to tell you, and I work with the president on a very close, much closer than they do. He has brought the incoming refugee number down to its lowest point in more than a decade, all right?
Well, he did win the Supreme Court ruling on the immigration. But what about the people that are here now? Who, by the way, are U.S. citizens?
That's the point, is that this was done under others. And what I've advocated ever since I got into Congress, Bob, is that Congress have more of a say over this refugee program. Nobody wants to hear that. And you got about 40 people that you're talking about, plus a political opportunist who is so crazy, her eyes cross when she starts talking about this thing. She's just out of her mind, emotional about
She's
it.
She's definitely instead a character.
Instead of sitting down and taking a deep breath. By the way, this issue really isn't the issue. This is more personal for that person. And they can do
whatever
they want.
I would agree with that, except this comes up a lot.
Well, because they got nothing else.
The whole Pledge of Allegiance thing at St. Louis Park.
They got nothing else.
Which all about because they thought Ilhan Omar went and met with the people at St. Louis Park and forced them to stop saying the Pledge
of
Allegiance.
Actually, you should replace that entire city council yesterday. You should get rid of anybody who supported that because why would you not show up and get rid of those people?
Well, don't get me started on oaths of allegiance, which we never said before the Civil War.
You and I have had this argument in the past.
I mean, the socialists wrote the Pledge of Allegiance.
Say the Pledge of Allegiance and be proud of it. And by the way, there's a reason why Under God is going to stay in there, too.
All right.
Well, we can have that debate later.
Because Jesus is coming.
Yeah. But back to this one. So here's the thing you look at. One, previous administrations allowed this huge influx of refugees into this country. And what do we do in the state of Minnesota? In the state of Minnesota, you'll resettle into the central Minnesota area, Stearns County, St. Cloud.
Right.
You'll resettle about, you used to, you're not doing this anymore under this president, but you used to resettle about 200 max a year.
Persons.
And here's the issue. We have this thing called secondary migration.
Yes.
Once they allow them in, and I've said from day one, the UN should not have been vetting who comes to this country. What in God's name are we allowing that for?
Well, really what we allowed was Catholic Charities and Lutheran
They're
Charities
on this end.
To be the agents of it. Yeah. And by the way, yes, Congress has actually passed immigration laws every couple of years going back over 100 years. So Congress should be involved. But they can't seem to get anything passed.
We should have gotten this done. It was one of the biggest swings and misses under our last leadership in between November's election last year and the end of the year. We should have resolved this. And we couldn't.
Is this because the president is the president bad when it comes to dealing with legislators? Meaning congressmen and senators?
I don't think so. I think
does he have a problem with dealing with like
the sociopaths that are jealous that he's getting the attention?
Well, you know what they are. You work with them, bow ties and all. That's the deal. I mean, that's the landscape.
Bow ties? My gosh. You should have seen the representative from the 3rd District when he wore the white tuxedo coat with the black piping to the State of the Union address last January. Very unique look.
All right, hang on a second. Thanks to Ryan Plumbing and, of course, ReliaFund for sponsoring the Bob Davis podcast when we go out and do stuff. And I love ReliaFund because they're a great payment processor. And I've talked about people have a lot of choices when it comes to payment processing. But you have to understand with ReliaFund, this is what they do. They are experts at integrating flawlessly all of their systems with your system. So if you're developing an e-commerce website, if you are redeveloping your back office systems, all your accounting and stuff, they work with you. A good example is giving you a pay now button on emails that you send to clients to include invoices, things of that nature. That's what they do. And they do it really well. And they are a great payment processor. If you call them, you will talk to a human being, Greg Lowry or Kevin Hill. They are secure. They're technology focused. No long-term contracts. Call them at 866-243-5040. That's 866-243-5040. You can check them out online at ReliaFund.com. Or just click on the ReliaFund banner at the top of the page at the Bob Davis Podcast. They were there at the beginning of the payment processing revolution in this country. That banner takes you to a contact page. That is how I found ReliaFund, and I got introduced to a whole new world of great guys. ReliaFund at ReliaFund.com. Now, I hate my printer, and I hate my printer because I hate buying print cartridges at the big box retail stores because they're super expensive, and I think everyone does. Cartridge Rolls in Maple Grove can save you up to 30% compared to the big box stores on these cartridges, and for certain businesses, they can also give you a printer, which saves you a lot of headaches. Free delivery on qualifying orders. Cartridge Rolls in Maple Grove off of Weaver Lake Road between Dairy Queen and Subway. 763-420-6632. Or click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. That takes you to Cartridge World.
Bow ties are the least of our issues.
Well, you started the bow tie thing.
I did.
What were we talking
about? We were talking about immigration. Yeah, let's go back to it very quickly. So this administration is trying to make sure that before people are allowed to come here as refugees, we vet them. We know who they are. We know that they're coming here for the right reasons. They're trying to make sure that a system that the last administration refused to even look at, I mean, Comey, who's been since disgraced, and Jay Johnson, who was Obama's Homeland Security guy, they once answered the question directly to a bunch of us, no, we can't vet these people completely.
Well, then don't let them in.
Exactly. And that's what this administration has done since they came in. Let's go back to why you get this high secondary migration. This is a state and local problem. Human beings are innately smart when it comes to their survival. You've got people who are coming to this country from a war-torn nation. They come into St. Cloud and, my gosh, they get heat assistance. They get food assistance. They get health care. Oh, this is great. What do you think they do? There's that thing called a phone that you told me earlier, don't touch. They call their friends. Right. They say, come here.
So
when you have the richest set of welfare benefits in the country.
All of the welfare benefits.
No, but you got to look at what you're doing. You got to ask yourself, why do people come here?
So our problem in this state, and I don't mean
if they come here to work,
problem,
I'm good with
I mean it.
It
as politically, it's a problem, which is the Somali immigration, and we see how that plays out in the 5th district. We see how it plays out in the 6th district. Let's talk about the border.
Okay.
Somebody saw through the new fence like the other day, and some kid apparently scaled the new wall in 30 seconds, a 6 or 8 year old kid.
Pretty good climber. You once climbed the one of the tallest peaks in St. Paul.
I did.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't it the KSTP? You once climbed that ladder all the way up to the top of the...
No, we were going to. Oh. It was at the Tower Farm. It was 40 below zero, and we were all drunk, and we went out there. And my friend, who's one of the chiefs of one of the properties at that time, which is CBS, we got in the thing, and it wouldn't work. And
so you couldn't climb it.
So he called his wife and said, she goes, where are you? And he said, we're in this thing. And she said, you get the hell out of that thing and get back home right now. Because she knew. And this is when I was still drinking. So we never did go all the way up. And if we had gone all the way up there, there's no way we would have come down. It was 40 below zero that night.
I just want you to know, Bob, you have just devastated me. Because every time Jackie and I are driving in St. Paul and we go past those, how tall are they?
1,500 feet.
1,500 feet, those radio towers that are in St. Paul. I'll tell Jackie.
It's dangerous even when on a summer day.
It's dangerous to look at for somebody like me. I tell Jackie, I go,
I'll tell you what,
realize our friend Bob Davis climbed
that. When they built that in 1965, that was a candelabra tower, and it fell. And the old engineers at CCO told the story of being in Telefarm when that thing fell. And this one guy, his arm was all crooked. And I said, he goes, that's how it happened. That tower fell on me. So they were in the building, and these guys were working on the tower, and they heard this noise. And he said, I'd been in a tower collapse, and I knew what it sounded like. And I said to everybody, you got to get in the basement under the concrete. And I was the last guy down, and I had my arm, and it came right through the ceiling, and part of it fell on my arm.
Lucky he's alive.
True story. Anyway, that's got nothing to do with Steven. Now I'm bamboozling myself. Okay, so immigration on the border.
Yeah.
Same thing. Where are we going to get a comprehensive, and I don't know how at this point, but is there a comprehensive compromise immigration package that could possibly happen in the next Congress?
The next Congress? Yeah, not this one.
No.
This one.
So you'd say if it would have to be a Republican majority in both houses.
Here's what I told the president when we flew here from Washington for his rally 3 weeks ago. I told him, I have this dream every day I get up. It's not a matter of whether you're going to win anymore. You're going to win. The question is by how much. And we're going to hold our Senate. Martha McSally's going to have a tough race down in Arizona. Cory Gardner needs to start leaning into it.
Susan
in
Collins.
Colorado. Yeah, we'll see about Susan Collins. But you're going to hold your majority.
She's going to have a tough race.
Yeah, you're going to hold your majority in the Senate. I dream about the opportunity to flip the House for the first time in a 2-year presidential cycle since 1952. Right. You know why? Because this president will do things that no one else will do, including, I believe, with immigration.
Let's talk about this for a second.
We will have to help.
So my understanding is that there are some issues and concerns with the National Republicans behind the scenes with Ohio, in particular, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Florida, that he has to win if he wants to be president. You know, if he loses Michigan, if he loses Wisconsin, even if he wins Florida and Pennsylvania and Ohio, he's going to have to pick up Arizona. My understanding is that the worry is they're going to triage all the money for his campaign and there's not going to be any money for congressional candidates, and that's your gig.
Yeah, that's not accurate.
So what happens? So for candidates, let's talk about Minnesota. How much money are you guys going to, you know, disgorge for the candidates here in Minnesota?
Well,
fourth district and fifth district. Everybody wants to talk about Ilhan Omar.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to run against Ilhan Omar.
Yeah, no, I don't. So first off, Bob, we don't have a budget set for any of these. We will have, this is about a $200 million business, believe it or not. There will be an IE that separates, that has a certain budget, which it separates next April. So we will have no say over what it's doing, okay? In terms of having resources right at the end, what you end up doing is there'll be a lot of polling being done next summer, late next summer. If races are within this 5-point margin, then you start to look at the candidate, you look at the operation they have, and you look at their fundraising. They are the ones that bring a race
so
into...
So if you're running for Congress, then you better come up with your own money to at least qualify to get some money from you.
I tell everybody, no matter who you are, if you're running... You better run your own operation as if no one's ever coming to help, because the people that get the help are the ones that actually we can, with a little investment, we can help pull them across the finish line.
Are you going to do that in Minnesota? And then where else are you looking in the United States to GOP lost 40 seats, something like that in 2018. So you got to get at least 40. Yeah?
No. History told us in this first midterm we were going to lose 32 seats. You're right, we lost 40. A lot of people don't realize record turnout, 115 million. Okay, previous high for a midterm, I think, was 91, so it was huge turnout. We only lost our majority by 106,000 votes. We need 19 seats, Bob, so you ask me, how are we going to do it? Well, we've targeted 55 seats. The top 31, Trump won 2 years ago. He won those seats, and they...
You mean he won the state?
No, he won the seat.
Yeah, you know, he didn't win the congressional seat.
If you look at the vote totals, he won that seat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he did. The next 20, Hillary won by what?
So these are counties or districts where the president or Hillary Clinton won... And...
Hillary won by 5 points or less the next 20, all right? You go back to that top 31, the top 13... Trump won by 6 points or more.
You just keep saying Trump won. I mean, what about
who's the
U.S. congressman?
He's on the ballot.
What about him or her?
Right now, it's a Democrat. In those top 13, it's a first-term Democrat.
How did that happen?
Who, by the way, ran saying they were going to be anti-Pelosi, saying they were going to be moderates.
Yeah, they ran as moderates.
They
yeah,
ran
they
as Republicans, and they haven't behaved like that at all.
Okay, so you feel they're vulnerable
because
of that.
Let's do it this way. We need 19 seats. If we win 10 of the 13 ruby red districts, okay, all right, now we got 18 more in the top 31. If we win just half of those, you've gotten to the 19. And then you go to the 20 Hillary districts, which Republicans have held in the recent past, Kevin Yoder in Kansas, Pete Roskam in Illinois, Houston, yeah. H.W. Bush's old seat. You go to those, if we win four or five out of that 20.
Is Roskam going to run again?
No.
So you got new candidates.
Not all of them. I mean, we got David Young is going to win in Iowa. Cindy Axney beat him in the landslide, whatever you want to call it, the wave last fall. He's going to win. We already have polling that shows him up, or a generic Republican up by 6 points in that seat. We got David Valadao in California 25, I think it is. If his guy's not under indictment by the time of the election, he's going to beat him.
What about I should ask about the second district and the third district here, which Republicans like. Now, and I do want to throw this in because I can't help myself. My understanding is that 2 weeks out from the last election, they sucked up all the money for the Senate campaign because the president was concerned about losing the Senate, and there was no money for local. So these guys got clobbered by Democrats in the last 2 weeks in the 2018 cycle.
Well,
that's why I ask about triaging the money if he gets in trouble in Ohio. And we're hearing, I'm sorry, but we're hearing, you know, rumors of the president bleeding female voters in these you know, purple districts, like the second and third district, and also in Ohio, Dayton, Columbus, blah, 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 blah.
So, Bob, it's been explained to me this way. The first midterm is always a check election. It is a check on executive power. The party that loses the White House is very energized to fight back. That's why they're checking executive power. This re-election is called a choice election. What does that mean? It means that now you're going to have a choice about whether you feel you're better off today than you were 4 years ago.
And of course, we don't know who the Democrat candidate's going to be.
And, let's go back. I mean, before we talk, I want to see the new socialist Democrats, because that's what they are. I want to see them sell their extreme left wing, you know, they're going to kick everybody off of their private health insurance. They're going to eliminate fossil fuels. They're going to eliminate, you're not going to be able to eat a hamburger anymore, Bob.
Who wants a hamburger? We're all on vegetarians now.
Oh, really? But
me too.
Pretty soon, plants are going to have names. It's going to be Sue Asparagus, and it's going to be, it's going to be Frank, you know. You know,
I'm sure that's a crowd pleaser. You can get away with that.
No, I just thought of it because this is what my friend Bob Davis used to call out all the time.
We used to have this is so much fun.
Oh.
I'm not running out. I have like 30-40 questions, but I'm not gonna. We're not gonna go that long. But let's talk about foreign policy real quick.
Okay.
I know for U.S. congressmen,
but before
it doesn't
you close
come up
out,
as much with Senate, but go ahead, sorry.
Before you close out, that was the whole thing about bleeding women voters and everything else. Remember, too.
Well, it is what it is.
Before the last election, his popularity was what? 37%?
Right.
It's basically the same thing now. I'm telling you, he's going to get more votes this time than he got last time.
We'll see. I mean, I don't have a dog in the race.
We're 12 months out. We'll see.
Here's the thing. If I was advocacy, if I was saying, this is what people don't understand. How come you don't attack Trump? How come you don't? I'm not going to attack him or defend him. He's a big boy. He can attack or defend himself.
That's what I say. That's what I say.
You're a big boy.
Yeah.
And people say, well, you know, that's why I would rather talk about the issues. And then, you know, and you're putting yourself out there. And that's fine. I do think, personally, and we'll see how it goes. I think it is going to be more difficult for him than it was in 2016. And we'll just have to wait and see because he was an unknown entity then and a huge personality. And now he has a number of things that are potentially barbs, among them the foreign policy stuff.
Okay.
Now, the most recent thing is he pulled 50 troops out of Syria, out of harm's way between the Turks and the Kurds. Suddenly now he's abandoning the Kurds, blah, 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 blah. What's your take on – so when we talk about foreign policy, we have Russia, China, we have the trade situation, and we have the Middle East, and we have Latin America. So, you know, you're not – I don't think you're on the foreign policy committees, and obviously you're not a senator. But congressmen are important if something comes up where there's going to be a need for resolution. So what do you think about when you're talking about foreign policy? What do you talk about? What do people ask you about at these events?
The big thing is trade. Big thing is the trade issue primarily. And you know what? It's interesting. The manufacturing concerns are a lot more skittish about this because it's affecting their supply chains.
Well, right? They're in a manufacturing recession right now, pretty much. That's what we're being told.
We're being told. And I mean, some of it is accurate because some people just aren't investing because they don't see the certainty. And I would blame more of the fact that people like Nancy Pelosi won't bring the new trade agreement with Mexico.
They said they're going to do that.
Oh, are they now?
Yes, they did.
Okay, well, maybe we'll see what happens because she's got, what, 7 days left before the next continuing resolution expires and all you're working on is impeachment, this flawed impeachment process? Whatever. I hear about trade. The farmers are amazing. These people are struggling all across the country. The markets have not been favorable to them over the last several years.
And they still support the president.
It's incredible, Bob.
Why?
What you typically hear back is, we need a breakthrough soon, but this thing with China had to happen. You hear that more often from farmers than you do from even the manufacturing concerns, because the manufacturing concerns, they're like money.
I actually went down to Iowa,
yep.
And I actually interviewed two farmers. And I was way off the beaten path. And I said to them, you got all these politicians running for president. Any of these guys knock on your door and talk to you? Are you kidding me? And they gave me the whole speech about how the Chinese have had to kill all their pigs. So they're like, we're going to be okay because they...
By the way, you were ahead...
They had to kill all their
pigs. You were
pigs.
Ahead of your
and
time.
And this was 2 months, 3, 5 months ago.
You were ahead of your time. Gordon, what is it, Chang? Who's the guy we used to interview when we did the show?
Gordon Chang was one of them, yeah.
Yeah. I just saw him pop up the other day. You were way
He's
ahead of your time.
He's very much an anti-China guy.
Yeah, but I mean...
Which is why I liked him.
I understand, but you did a lot of study on this, which opened my eyes to the fact that we don't get the news out of China. And
well, no one does because they keep it secret. Yeah, but there are a lot of economic problems with China.
Right.
Yes.
They're in trouble.
And they're not necessarily related to U.S. trade. They have a lot of systemic problems.
That is exactly right.
So trade is the big foreign policy.
That's
issue.
The one you
not
usually
Venezuela,
hear.
Not, you know, are we going to be in a war in Venezuela? Are we going to be a war in Syria? Do you think
remember,
we should deploy U.S. troops across the world? You know, that kind of thing.
No, so I wasn't too thrilled with the decision in Syria. But
why?
Well, you had 50 troops. It was actually holding things in the balance, believe it or not, but with just that number of people. The argument was that Turkey was coming anyway. I don't think that ever would have happened with American troops.
Well, I mean, they are a member of NATO, so they are supposedly a NATO partner.
But when you listen to the president's point is, when is it going to end? I mean, you got to have a beginning.
Well, now, but then he reverses it. Now we're securing the oil.
We got
the oil.
That's the issue.
I mean, so now we send the troops in for the oil. I mean, how does that play, especially up here?
Not he's not going to let them destroy the oil fields. That is true.
But I mean, how does that play when you're out talking to people in the 6th District? Do they support that or?
No? well, I've got another town hall tomorrow night. We'll find out. We'll find out about that because this has happened mostly since my last town hall. Bob, the big issue is where America withdraws, and I'm not saying you put troops out there. I now have one of my sons in the Navy. I got one in the Marine.
Had many conversations about Ron Paul too.
Yeah, that's right.
Subject.
That's right. But when you withdraw completely, guess what? Russia is not they're not a good actor. China is not a good actor.
Well, they're diplomatic opportunists. They're going to take the opportunity.
They'll fill the void.
And so the last question.
Okay.
Has to do with the economy. Mm-hmm. So 1.9% GDP growth, 1.8% inflation, $1 trillion in debt, repo markets questionable. Supposedly we're quantitative easing in the repo markets, but we're not, according to Powell. ECB continuing to buy, you know, securities as part of quantitative easing. The OECD saying, well, you know, we only project 1% GDP growth for the organized, advanced countries in 2021/2022.
Where are you getting the 1.9?
Well, GDP
2.9.
No, last GDP numbers for the third quarter, 1.9%.
Okay, well, they came out 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
Yeah, I should have read that before I came in.
But it's
that wasn't on your list.
You know, so are we growing? Are we doing the right thing? You know, what are you going to do about the deficit? Is that a problem? Spending?
I think it's a problem. But here's the thing, Bob. First off, I think sky's the limit when it comes to our GDP. You know, I've always disagreed.
Well, of course, it's sky's the limit. But we ain't getting that. We're not in. We're still running down the runway.
No, but this is the problem we used to have. You got to let me finish on this one because. I've always disagreed with how we calculate GDP. I disagree with
it. But that's the yardstick.
I got it. And if we're going to go based on that yardstick, the sky is the limit if Congress will start doing its job.
Do they have to do?
Start doing its job.
But Trump says, I'm the guy that's fixing the economy. Is this a boom?
He hung
Seriously.
The moon. He hung the moon, too. No, I'm teasing you now. It's the overemphasis. It's huge. It's great. It's the best. It's going to be the best you've ever had. Bottom line is, Congress, because of the uncertainty that we're creating by not doing the things we're supposed to be doing, I think that's what's slowing this down. You've got a lot of... There was an article yesterday, or maybe it was even this morning, about our friend at Berkshire Hathaway, who's reached his...
You mean Warren?
Yeah. We love Warren, right?
Not Elizabeth Warren, but the other Warren.
No, the other Warren. But he's reached his pinnacle in cash that he has collected, right? Well, why isn't he deploying the cash? The article was about he's looking for companies to buy and all the rest. Well, people are holding back right now because they don't know what's going to happen with Congress. I mean,
he's not under any obligation to deploy that cash.
Not at all. But he's not going to deploy it unless he knows what he can reasonably predict what's going to happen.
Well,
in the
Democrats, their issue will be inequality. They'll talk about inequality, which, to a certain degree, as you and I have both discussed with John Tamney and some of these other guys, is usually a sign of growth when you have higher levels of inequality. But having said that, you have people with enormous amounts of money now, companies with enormous amounts, individuals with enormous amounts of money. And you can understand how somebody that makes $58,000 a year and is paying $1,400 a month in healthcare might be a little bit irritated that someone like Jeff Bezos has $34 billion.
Debates over income inequality are where democracies go to die, number one. Number two, the reason that this has happened is because rather than have an economy, not only here domestically, but around the world, that is based on wealth creation, we have all become these great, brilliant minds with these central banks and these, you know, Bilderberger type whatever. They have all started. It's about.
Did you just say Bilderberger whatever? Wow.
I did.
You sound like Ron Paul.
And I can do my Alex Jones too if you want me to. But the whole point is we've gone from wealth creation to trading in debt. All around the world.
Yes, that's the central government.
And this is what is creating your inequality, because the only people who can play are people who have resources.
And slow growth. And so how do you fix it as a congressman?
Well, first off, we got to win an election in 12 months. And then I think the reason that you have a guy who wasn't supported by Wall Street the last time, they're supporting him now. Boy, they're having a lot of fun, right?
Their
markets
Warren,
are going crazy.
There
you go. So it's not so much what you're offering. It's what they're offering as well, right? It's about winning an election.
And I maintain we may not be seeing the candidate that the Democrats are going to put up.
Yeah, it's just not true. And I'll tell you why. There's too much to do. Go talk to Ross Perot. Pull him out of his grave and ask him, hey, what do you think was the biggest problem? Trying to get on the ballot in 50 states. That's what the biggest problem was. It's never going
to
happen.
They would have to actually make a decision.
And the rules are all skewed against
them. It's going to be Elizabeth Warren.
I think probably that, unless, you know what, 12 months is a long time.
Absolutely. And Iowa is, whoever runs Iowa, they don't win the election anyway.
No, and remember, McCain was...
Don't even get me started about Iowa. That whole thing is a complete... I'm going down there again in February. So, yeah, I have to save my money for the truck.
Isn't that where Trump went into his debate thing about, was it carried interest? What was it that he was talking about? And he said, those are some of my friends over there. They like me when I came in. They don't like me much right now, because he's talking about eliminating their tax benefits on carried interest.
So you're saying in order to fix the economy, we got to have a Republican Congress.
No, I'm not. I'm saying, I'll tell you very bluntly, for me, we have two political parties in this country with a bunch of different political perspectives. My grandfather's Democrat Party is dying. It's going to hit the earth with a loud thud. It's going to be the Socialist Party of America. The Republican Party has the only chance
to govern. The Republican Party is the National Populist Party.
It has. Oh, gosh. Thanks a lot.
Well, now, it is. No. I mean, I don't think populism is good economic policy, but the Republicans had 2 years to cut the deficit. They didn't do it.
Here, if we're ever going to survive and govern again, we're going to get one more opportunity, in my opinion. And one party's going by the wayside. This hasn't happened in a long time, right? There once were the Whigs. There's the...
Say that was going to be the Democrats, and then for a while there, it kind of looked like it was going to be the Republicans until Donald Trump rode in on a white horse.
Yeah, but does that mean that it's solved the problem?
No. Absolutely not.
Not at all.
All right.
And by the way, you asked me when it's going to get fixed. It better get fixed next time around, because if it doesn't, if you have this, if you have Republicans in charge and they don't do what they're sent to do, even with this change agent, this disruptor in the White House, if it doesn't get done, then I think you'll see two new parties within the next decade.
That's a good place to end. U.S. Congressman Tom Emmer, thank you. Yeah. This has been a lot of fun.
Thank you, Bob. It gets the blood flowing again.
It's great.
Yeah, I can't.
We just did this so long together.
Well,
and
we're doing
so
it at one of my favorite places, Pleasureland.
Saying Pleasureland. Be careful. It's the RV dealer, Pleasureland.
Yeah, it's not the guy you used to pass who put
right
the thing
off the highway.
No, we're not talking about that guy.
Yeah, they got some pretty awesome RVs.
I'm telling you. So. And I tell Jackie
they
all
wanted
the time.
Us to come over there, and I was like, I'm not moving.
I'm telling you,
here.
Bob. One of these days, I'm selling everything, Jackie and I, and we're buying an RV, and that's it.
I'll be right behind you.
Yeah, well, or we'll be right behind you.
I'm going to buy one of those school buses over there.
See, I'm not doing that.
Oh, yeah, I think I might.
No, I want the thing on wheels that you know, I step in and it's like.
Well, you can get a really nice room. One because you got to make it.
Oh, yeah, I got such a great job. It's like all the perks and everything's there. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's great.
You love it, though.
I love working with people.
Yeah,
I do.
I know.
It's, you know, everything in life comes at a time. I've said to some, I don't know how these people do this for 20 years. We got to have more turnover than that. But you know what? People doing
Please
it for
don't
6
say
to
term
10.
Because that's not going to do anything.
No, you got them already.
And you're going to have.
You know that I won't say that.
You know,
by the way, two ideas you should push as the anarchist. One, you should push that if you were going to do term limits, then you term limit the bureaucrats and the elected officials. So they all have to leave within a certain number of dates. And then the biggest one, every capital, the nation's capital and every state capital should be put on wheels and moved every 4 to 6 years so that it doesn't have a chance to anchor itself to whatever town it's in.
Put them in RVs.
Do something. Just move them.
Well, it's appropriate time that we're ending the podcast on foreign policy, trade, and economic issues, which are so important to your friend and my friend, Mark Korn at Depot Star in Ramsey, Minnesota. This is the great American manufacturer. So if you are working for a company and you're in the decision-making chain and you're thinking about bringing your manufacturing back to the U.S. with all this trade stuff, of course, you need a great American manufacturer. That's Depot Star. American design, engineering, and manufacturing. Visit them online at DepotStar.com. That's DepotStar, DepotStar.com. And thanks for digitally sponsoring the Bob Davis podcast all these years. Mark Korn, great guy, great company. Thanks for listening to podcast 874, Davis and Emmer, live in Mobile Podcast Command up here at Pleasure Land, the RV place right off of 94. Although we're not in Pleasure Land. I mentioned earlier, we're actually in the parking lot of the trucking company up here, and they said, well, you have to move. And I go, I ain't moving. I'm already plugged in. Thanks for listening to podcast 874, and thank you, Tom.
It's the same old